thrown himself flat on the floor behind the jerking body of one of his fellows, firing short bursts from some sort of machine pistol. But Ryan kept moving, dodging in and out of his room. His first shot at the man missed by inches, howling into the blackness at the top of a narrow flight of stairs. The second bullet from the Colt drilled through the guard's open mouth. That left Harvey.
You fired six, brother! One to go!
I reloaded!
At that moment, the 15-year-old boy knew his life was measured in short minutes. Ryan was lying. Morse had only been able to steal a single magazine. His room offered no escape. The window opened on a sheer drop of 50 feet to the stone flags of a courtyard. If he could make it past his brother to the stairs, then he might have a slight chance. But Ryan Carter, even at 15, to think was to act. He dove headfirst through the doorway, rolling over and coming up, his finger on the trigger, not even waiting to see that he'd missed the crouching figure of his brother. He drew the horn-hafted dagger from his belt and sprinted through the dim light, hurtling the dying guards.
Ah!
Harvey tried to shoot him, but his pistol jammed.
Bastard! Butcher!
Ryan closed in on his older brother. Harvey was taller and stronger than the boy, but he lacked the ruthless determination. As they grappled, he managed to draw his own knife. And Ryan felt a cold fire across his ribs from the steel. But Ryan also drew blood, cutting Harvey Carter on the upper arm. Within seconds, he could have killed him. And the rest of his life would have been utterly different. But there had been a sec man on a regular patrol in the corridor a floor beneath, and he'd come running at the sound of gunfire, arriving in time to drag Ryan away from his screaming brother.
No! Let me go!
The boy was quick enough, wriggling like a gaffed eel, to stab the guard to the heart, feeling the life flow from the man as his grip relaxed. But the interruption had given Harvey the moment he needed. Ryan lived all his days with that memory. At times he felt he still had both eyes, so vivid was the image of the knife in his brother's hand, moving toward his face, striking. He saw it. Actually saw the tip of the blade as it grated into his left eye socket. There was liquid trickling down his face that mingled aqueous humor of the eye with a little blood. Surprisingly little blood. Shocked beyond belief, not realizing the devastating damage the knife had done, Ryan had staggered back, dropping his own dagger, his hands grabbing at his injured eye. Harvey slashed out once more, aiming for the right eye, missing it by the width of a finger. The steel opened up a great jagged tear from the edge of the eye to the puckered corner of his mouth. This time blood cascaded over his chin and neck, soaking into his shirt. In agony and desperation, Ryan punched out at the leering Harvey, feeling the man's nose break like a rotten apple. Then, Ryan turned and ran for the stairs, scarcely able to see. He never truly knew how he escaped from the fortress at Front Royal that hideous night. Perhaps a servant aided him. There was a door open. He felt the driven snow from the Virginia winter chill on his face. Darkness stumbling among the tall pines. A hand on his arm. Had there been a helping hand on his arm? Away, as far as possible, running, running, hiding and fighting. The years ground past until he had met the traitor and begun a new phase of his life, hoping that he had shut all of the past behind him forever. He knew now that he had not.
After there was a fearful inquisition, poor Kenny Morse was put to death by Harvey Carter. So were others of the servants judged to have helped you.
I didn't know that.
The cobblestones of the great yard ran with blood. Harvey was in a fearsome temper.
And my father?
He was told by your brother that not only were you responsible for Morgan's death, but that you'd bribed the sect men to murder him. The Baron named you Wolf's Head with a lot of jack on your head.
I heard that.
Guess you didn't hear about the new lady, Calder.
What?
Yeah. Your father wed the whore, but it was Harvey that did the pleasuring. Only 18 she was. Plump as a corn-fed chick. Hair like straw. I figured the old man was getting bats loose in the belfry by then, what with all that happened.
My father died, I heard, Pachko. Was that the hand of my brother?
No, Oh, no, 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 no. That was his wife, Lady Rachel Calder. The word about Front Royal was that she bound him with cords of silk. Game of love, she called it. Then she smothered him with a pillow. He was frail by then. But it was at Harvey's word.
Ryan licked his dry lips. There was a small room, locked at the end of a corridor, in the west wing of his memory. Despite everything he'd done, someone had come along and forced the bolts. And in a perverse, cathartic way, he was relieved that it was over, and the door flung open, and the sequence dispersed. Go on, Butch, go.
He was dead and under the earth, feeding the worms and maggots, all in a day and a night. But there was a babe born in all.
Boy or girl?
Boy, Lloyd Calder. I'm so sorry. Mr. Calder. Christened Jabez Pendragon Calder.
My father's, or... The look on the old man's face was the answer. Harvey had sired the child with his father's wife.
Hard to say which was most wicked, her or him. Maybe they's twin shoots of the same dark flowering weed.
And now? Does Ryan's brother rule Front Royal? With the woman and his child? Is Harvey the Baron?
Yes, yes, and yes. The crow shits where the eagle should roost. Will you return, Mr. Calder, my lord, and claim what should be yours?
Harvey has it. Let him keep it. Let him have the fucking pleasure in it that he deserves. Ryan, turning away from Bochco, blinked as he found Doc Tanner and Laurie at his elbow.
I didn't know you were...
I beg pardon for dropping at the eaves, Ryan. The dancing was far too tiring. Laurie and I are going to bed.
Doc caught Ryan's raised eyebrow.
Yes, we are going to bed together. I may find dancing a little much now at my age, but that does not mean I am totally impotent.
Sorry, Doc.
Apology accepted. Christy?
Good night, Doc. Good night, Laurie. Sleep well.
Ryan suddenly became aware that the dance seemed to be breaking up around them, the couples drifting away.
Doc?
Yes?
Did you hear any of that? About my brother and this?
Ryan fingered the eye patch over his eye.
Of course, but I had known it all along. Good night, my friend.
Good night, Doc.
Mephisto moved out of the hallway and through the doorway. Just beyond the heavy door was a thick drape of black velvet. He eased it to one side, creeping through, allowing it to fall silently into place behind him. He paused, allowing his eyes to adjust to the dim light. A thick yellow candle, made from corpse fat, guttered in one corner of the motel room, filling the air with a pungent odor of ambergris and squill. The sec boss knew from long experience that it was best to be careful when approaching Baron Tumont in the night. His predecessor had died from a snapped neck for just such a foolishness. He stood at the doorway, keeping the heavy octagonal table between himself and his slumbering master.
Lord? Lord?
I heard you creeping on tiptoe along the corridor, Mephisto. Though the knocking of that ice chiller came close to drowning the sound.
Shall I turn it off?
No. Any machine that still functions from before the fire blast is